Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Can you hold civil conversations about controversial issues? Are you sure? Let's go in depth with Lowell Ernst, Director of K-12 Instruction at the Pella Community School District. Lowell, I think that you and I could sit down and talk about pretty much anything. Do you think so?
I believe that's true, huh?
We've been talking for 10, 12 years now about lots of different things. And I bet our discourse would be civil, interesting, and we both just might learn something.
I would agree with that.
But that's not the way that it is in society today with everybody, is it?
Yeah, I believe that is probably true. It'd be interesting to have perspective on people who've been around for several generations and whether they feel that's any different than it has been in previous generations. But I think that's maybe the perception is we've lost some of the ability to do that.
Well, there's a program coming up that you're a part of called Community Conversations, Strategies for Civil Discourse in Communities. Can you tell us about that?
It's the idea of trying to foster civil discourse, to be able to have an agreement and a disagreement with people in a respectful way, and to use the ability to have dialogue, whether it be about political conversations or any type of issue, and to really work your way through it to try and find a solution, and to be able to actually hear people's perspectives rather than just trying to prove that yours is wrong. We even think of that here in the school when we talk about critical thinking. Too often we take a position and then we feel like our job is to justify our position as the only correct answer, rather than looking at our position and saying, okay, I've learned from you, and what I hear you saying is different from me, and what can I learn from it? What can you learn from me? How can we find a solution that's amicable for everyone?
Well, this is put on by the Robert D. and Billy Ray Center at Drake University, and you're not old enough, but I'm old enough to remember Robert Ray, Governor Robert Ray, perhaps one of the most civil politicians ever, a gentleman, pretty much beside himself about the quality of civil discourse in society today.
I would think so. When you look at debates in the past and watch some of that footage, there are some really interesting conversations, things that people can learn a lot from. And that didn't mean that people just rolled over and said, oh, I guess you're right and I'm wrong. But it did mean that there was a conversation and that was an exchange of ideas. And I think Governor Ray would have been a great example of that. And I think we've still got a few people today that are able to do that. But unfortunately, it doesn't feel like it's the norm anymore.
Especially amongst our leaders, you know, our political leaders. I mean, they aren't setting a very good example.
As we think about trying to have our students see that example and all of us as adults see that example, where is that going to come from now? And where is that going to come from in the future? And I think that's the idea of this conversation, is to give people tools to be able to understand how to do that, to have kind of a disciplined thinking manner that helps lead to those answers that our society needs. We need to start to solve some of the problems rather than just arguing about them.
And I guess I shouldn't say, you know, not all of our political leaders are that way. I need to say that, but enough of them are. Is that incivility in discourse percolating down to your students? Are students being less civil?
You know, I think teachers have a huge amount to do with that in how they set up their conversations in their classrooms. I watch our fifth grade students in their science program have conversations on, I agree with you because, but I disagree with you because. That didn't just happen. That's because teachers taught them how to have those conversations. And I feel like our high school students are capable of those as well, if put in a disciplined situation. What I get disappointed is if I attend legislative forums and I see the disrespect that's sometimes directed at the legislators. And I've even written notes of apologizing to them, not necessarily for my behaviors, but for the behavior of the atmosphere that they had to absorb to be able to do that. Because whether you agree or disagree with them, they're still an elected official that deserves some respect with regards to us expressing our viewpoints to them in a way that can be heard. I think that's what sometimes forget, too, that when we approach people in a disrespectful manner, they don't necessarily hear our point anymore. And so if we want to be heard, we need to do it in a way that can be heard.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about how to hold civil conversations with Lowell Ernst, director of K-12 instruction at the Pella Community School District. Are there ever times where it's okay to be disrespectful?
I think it's a very good question. I think there's times when it's just fine to be upset about what someone else said. I think it's times when you can vehemently disagree with what the other person says. To be disrespectful, though, I just don't know if that's ever appropriate. I think it's fine to show spine and to set forth and put your foot down and say, no, that's not right. I don't agree with that. But even then, you can do that in a respectful way that doesn't lead to escalation of the conversation, to deterioration of any opportunity to find an answer.
Mm-hmm. I've seen a legislator stand up in front of a group of about 40 people in Pella, and I've seen them lie to them. I lost a lot of respect for that legislator, but I didn't. I guess I took him aside afterwards and explained why his facts were wrong, and I never heard him say that again. And so was that the best way to handle that? I felt like I was sort of betraying the audience because I knew that he was wrong. I knew that he wasn't telling the truth, but I didn't say anything. I guess I could have said it respectfully.
Mm-hmm. I think that my perspective on that, because I've been in those situations too in the last couple of years where I've heard someone in a legislative position say something that I'd researched those facts and realized those are not accurate. I believe to go ahead and say, here's the facts that I have, and they don't align with that. Can you tell me where the difference is coming from? Is still respectful. I think to stand up and say, sir, you're lying, and I don't think you should be able to do that in public, is probably not going to get us anywhere. So I believe that it's fine to call someone out on a misrepresentation of the facts, but you're right, there is certainly a way to do it that will work and a way to do it that's just going to cause an argument.
Right. And yeah, I decided not to do it publicly, but I think it served its purpose. And part of the reason I didn't call him on it is I didn't know if I could remain calm. I was pretty upset by what he had said.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, that's sort of, you have to control your emotions, mm-hmm. don't you?
Yeah, we constantly talk about that in a school environment, that if the emotional side of your body is taking over, the logical side can't work. And if you believe that, and there's quite a bit of research to show that, it helps us to understand why we need to stay disciplined and be able to stay calm, because if we get emotional, we are probably not going to be thinking very clearly to make the point we want to make.
Well, I've seen you at these things, too, and you are always calm.
Maybe on the outside.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about how to hold civil conversations with Lowell Ernst, director of K-12 instruction at the Pella Community School District. Everybody knows that there's a lack of civility that maybe we've never seen before, or I guess I don't remember it reaching this level in my lifetime. Maybe it's been around before, but we know the lack of civility is there, and there is going to be this community conversation in Pella. Who's this for? Is it for just, you know, regular people, businesses, groups? Who's the target?
I think it is for anyone. I mean, everybody can benefit from this conversation, so I would encourage anybody who even has a mild interest in it to check it out and to attend. I think when we start to put that into organizations is when it's going to have an impact. So local government officials can benefit. If you're on any type of board or any type of organization, maybe a public service group in your community, where you can foster these conversations. One of the groups that I've been kind of impressed with recently is the League of Women Voters and how they set up their conversations. I think they set it up to make sure that this happens, and I've seen them stop conversations when it didn't happen. So those types of organizations, I think, could do a lot with what they learn here. It really is meant to give you tools to go back and use then. So it's not just a time when somebody's going to come and tell you, here's all the things you're doing wrong, but here are ways to actually facilitate these conversations and cause them to happen.
I bet this would be very valuable for our religious leaders, in the sense that they have, most of them, I would suspect, have people of, you know, different political beliefs in their congregation, and they need to negotiate that. Would this be for them too?
I think so, because religious leaders are a great example of are wanting to stand firm for what you believe in, and we're not telling them, come and change what you believe. But when you're faced with a situation where someone doesn't believe that, then how can you talk to them? What's the best way to approach that in a manner that's going to help to have a great conversation and walk away thinking I learned something?
Okay, and so I would guess the same thing as for people that, might be management as well, where they're having to deal with the, you know, work environment. I guess it's for everybody, but I could see where people are having to have to provide leadership in very complex organizations where these discussions are happening. They might need some real help.
You know, Stephen Covey's son has written a book about called The Speed of Trust, and it really deals with two reasons people trust each other are character and competence. And a lot of that character comes across from the way that you treat other people. So when someone comes to a boss or comes to a board in a business and has a disagreement with them, there are definitely different ways that they can be treated. And also when employees come to their boss to be able to air a grievance, the way that you approach that's going to impact not only that moment, but probably your future as well. So what is it that you're going to use as a tool, as an idea of how you're going to want to come across in that situation? Those kind of things can be learned in a situation like this.
And so it goes well beyond politics.
Absolutely. This is about just what's, like it's labeled, community conversations, the idea of how to have a one-to-one conversation, a group conversation, and to really be able to come across how you'd like to.
Well, yeah, like if a boss is sort of authoritarian and, you know, acts like a king, maybe that's not the best way to operate. Maybe there's a way to inspire that rather than, you know, order around. Maybe they can learn something.
I really believe that would be true. That's how to treat others is really kind of at the core of all of this.
Now, I'm guessing that the people that are going to participate in this are the people that need it the least. And the people that really need it, they already think they have everything under control. They know everything. Don't you? You know people like that, that know everything and you can't convince them of anything?
Yeah, and that is one of the difficult things about this. It's a time when people who are concerned about this will be the ones who will come. And we hope everyone can be concerned about something like this. But you're right, not everybody is. And so the broader spectrum of people we can have in attendance, the better the conversation here will be also. It would be great to have people show up who disagree with things so that they could model how to do this, because some people think that being able to express their viewpoint in the most hostile way is the best way to get their point across. And I'd like to see how someone in this situation can diffuse that. So I guess everyone come.
Well, it'd be nice. I personally have several acquaintances that like to lecture. They want to talk politics, but what they're doing is lecturing. And so I just nod my head and listen. I'm just a good listener. But then I think they go away sort of bored, and I don't know how to engage with them. Will this help that maybe?
I think it can. You know, one of the ways to be a good listener, obviously, is to ask good questions. And I think that's part of a community conversation, is not to just come across as, here are all the answers you need to hear, but not only to ask the question, but actually want the answers. I think that's the part that sometimes we create a little bit of a ruse, that we will tell people, here are all the things we're gathering input upon tonight, but we've already decided what we're going to do. And so truly to ask people for their opinions because you want them is part of a community conversation.
Well, maybe this will trickle over to social media too. It's like my father-in-law is on Facebook, and I defriended him, and he asked me why. And I said, well, I like you in real life, but I don't like the guy you are on Facebook. I'd rather have the image of who you really are. Do you think that we might trickle over into that? Too bad he lives in Colorado, so I can't get him to come. But there are people like that, too.
It would be great if we could, because I think we constantly need to think about that. Our online, our presence, our electronic presence needs to match who we are. And sometimes we may be embarrassed to think that what we say online would be what people think of as who we are. So trying to get people to understand that conversations online are still conversations, and we need to represent that in our media presence as well.
Okay, and where and when is this event?
So this is going to take place on July 31st at 4 o'clock. It runs from 4 to 6 p.m., and it'll be at the Maytag Building on the Central College campus. And so it is good if you can register that. You can do that at revivecivility.org/Iowa. Once again, that's revivecivility.org/Iowa. There's no cost for it. It's all free. They're just trying to get a feel for how many people are going to be there. I know there are 8 of these conversations going on across Iowa, and the goal is to have 100 people there. And so we'd love to see a good group turnout and just to have a meaningful dialogue while we're there.
Is there going to be interaction? Can we ask questions?
The idea is to train people to have tools. So it's going to be more than just somebody speaking to you for 2 hours. There'll be some interaction and experimentation with some of those tools as well.
And why did they pick Iowa?
I think realistically, there are 4 states in the country. Iowa was brought up quickly because of our political significance. And when people see those first conversations that are going to happen this next round of elections, it'd be great if they saw Iowans modeling a civil discourse. And I think that would be what we're after.
Thanks to Lowell Ernst for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.